I say, looking on the bright side of life never killed anybody. Jenny Han.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hey there, welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. I'm so honored to be here with you today. This week's episode, we dive into the world of cannabis and CBD, but unlike ways that we've ever done it before. Today, I speak with world-renowned expert on the topic, Colleen Quinn, who has a brilliant perspective of blending the world of cannabis and CBD with essential oils, aromatherapy, and other herbal remedies. Because as she says, it's just one other plant. Why not get to know it? Paraphrasing a bit, but you'll learn more in today's interview. We dive into her CBD beauty book, essential oils that work best with cannabis and CBD, and the part that we can play in conservation for the future of aromatherapy. That's today on our program, but first, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This is the segment on our show where we read a recipe that has been submitted by one of you, our amazing listeners. And each month we pick a winner out of everyone who's ever submitted a recipe. This month, congratulations goes to our winner, Kayla Miller, for her recipe called Dusting Spray. To make the dusting spray and right on time for spring cleaning, you'll need a glass spray bottle. To that bottle, add 1 cup of distilled water, 1/4 cup white vinegar, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and 15 drops lemon essential oil. Shake to combine, then spray on surfaces to be clean. Wipe clean with a microfiber cloth. Thank you for your recipe, Kayla. We appreciate you. We'll contact you soon to send you your prize of a bottle of orange essential oil and our favorite DIY essential oil ebook. You can enter to win our monthly giveaways simply by emailing us your essential oil recipe. It can be a favorite diffuser blend, a roller bottle blend, or something complicated like your own soap or shampoo. Just email us the details at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life. And it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Well, I'm here with Colleen Quinn from Lab Aroma. She is an award-winning, celebrated clinical aromatherapist, cosmetic chemist, author, and researcher. She is committed to delivering functional, therapeutic, plant-based products who specialize in cannabis research, formulations, and education. Colleen, it is an honor to have you here on the show today. How are you?
I am great. I'm so happy to be here, Samantha. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So I have to ask where that lovely accent is coming from.
It's Irish. It's Northern Irish, but it's been well tamed over the years. About 10 years ago, you probably wouldn't have understood me, but I've lived in London and now France. So it's got much slower and I speak with much more clarity. So it's quite mild now, believe it or not.
I love that. Maybe after a while or one day we'll have to do a podcast where you drink a lot of wine and I want to hear you get real Irish.
Or you just have me on with my sisters and then no one will understand a single word.
There you go. So, Colleen, we have so much to talk about. You have done so much research and your work revolves around this vast array of knowledge around CBD, beauty, cosmetics, all these different things, and essential oils, of course. So it's hard to know where to start, but I think I want to start with your CBD beauty book. I'm really dying to know more about this this book that you've written.
So thank you. The CBD beauty book is a great place to start, actually. I remember when I was first asked to do it, I felt like it was an opportunity to pull together some of the things that I've spent the last 20 years doing. And you know, in a way, it felt really normal to me, but to lots of people, it didn't, to combine CBD with essential oils in skincare. I think people had sort of seen those areas as decompartmentalized to an extent, whereas to me, they weren't. You know, CBD, especially at that time, that was in 2019, I was approached to do it. CBD had become, or was starting to become super trendy, especially for things like sleep and anxiety.
Like the next big thing for sure.
Yeah. And in skincare to an extent, and there was brands being like entire brands being built across, especially the UK and all across America and Canada, where they were building an entire brand on CBD. And a lot of that was built on isolate, CBD isolate, not the whole plant because of legal implications.
Right, the and THC.
Of course. And one part of me was very much excited about this, but the cosmetic chemist in me was like, well, CBD isolate is an amazing anti-inflammatory and antioxidant compound, but it is a compound. It is not a whole plant. It is not even a family of compounds. It is one compound. So to bring that into the aroma, to give you context of what I mean, within the aromatherapy world, that's like us building not just brands, but an industry on linalool. It's like us identifying linalool right. as being incredibly therapeutic. And like, you know, Samantha, the size of that market and the just the rapid growth that that world took on from like 2017 right up until about 21 was...
Yeah, I'm familiar, but let's give our listeners a little more context around that, because I think this is a really important point that I know where you're going, and I love it. So let's give a little more context around like, yeah, what happened to the linalool industry?
So the CBD industry, you mean?
Well, yeah, but you were also talking about like, yeah. In if you were to take linalool as an isolate of like orange or the citrus essential oils, and you were to extract that, which we do, we extract mm-hmm. linalool as this one isolate compound, and we put it yeah. in, as an industry, put it in all sorts of cleaners and chemicals and then and supplements and things. And, it's great. That's great. Linalool is great. I love that it can be naturally derived, but it is not the same as the entire essential oil of lemon or orange or the entire plant. It's just a totally different ballgame. You can't call that essential oils or aromatherapy, in my opinion.
No, absolutely not. And I think the big difference is, and linalool is a great example, and the big difference is it's extracted and is synthetically modified, and it goes into lots of cleaning products and lots of even cosmetics and soaps and things. But we have, as a world and as an industry, we haven't built brands around it. We built an entire industry around CBD as an isolate in skincare. So the movement was so big that it became called the Green Rush or the Green Train. And that relates to both cannabis and CBD and this mad, frantic growth that just spiraled upwards. And there was an insane amount of money invested and pumped into the growth of this plant, which, plateaued, and for a lot of people, it just, the bottom fell out of it. And 5 years in, investors that have put so much money into the cannabis plant and CBD just didn't see the reality of their investment and continue to not see it. I think for me at the time, I was very, very aware that as much as CBD is an incredible compound and remains to be an incredible compound, she is going to be another ingredient in our kit as aromatherapist, right. herbalist, and cosmetic chemist. She is not going to remove the benefits of our essential oils or cannabis itself or our other massive, extensive toolbox of plants and herbs that we have to use in skincare and in wellness care. So when I was asked to write the CBD beauty book, I said, yes, I'd love to, because I want to, for two main reasons. I wanted to pull that world together. I wanted to pull the world of essential oils, aromatherapy, and CBD together. But I work and teach aromatherapists every day. It's what I do. I work with them and I teach them. And at that point in 2019, the aromatherapy world hadn't stepped up or hadn't seen that it was their place to own CBD and own cannabis. They had very much left it over there with the big corporate world. And my argument to that was, it's one plant. And not only is it one plant, when we have an apothecary of thousands of plants at our fingertips, it is one compound. So if we have to learn about one compound, that's easy for us because we know hundreds of thousands of compounds and we know our functional groups, and we've had to learn all of this vast organic chemistry in order to be able to do what we do today. So in my eyes, it was very simple for us to, step up, understand CBD, understand cannabis, and understand the terpenes and the cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. And we already know half of that. The terpenes are our day-to-day lives in the aromatherapy world. So actually, we only really need to know and learn about cannabinoids. So for me, it made complete sense that the aromatherapy and plant world, got really comfortable with CBD yeah. and cannabis. But I wasn't seeing that in my, my lives every week that I was doing, and even in email communication with students, and when I talked to students on our podcast, they weren't seeing it as their plant. And I wanted to make them feel empowered so that they not only understood it, but knew how to bring it into their current existing world of aromatherapy formulations.
Yeah, I think that's a fabulous perspective. And I'd say my personal experience might have been a little different. I think that was possibly because of my introduction to the essential oil world was really pretty narrow. It was through the lens of one company, Young Living, which I love dearly, I always will. And they were really early adopters into that embrace of CBD, not as a, oh, here's like a way we can grow vertically. Let's add this whole other stack of products into our product line called CBD. And now everything's all about how CBD can cure everything, right? They were really pretty early on in combining that world of CBD and aromatherapy and essential oils. And so, yeah, I think I'm pretty grateful that that was my experience of having that perspective of, wow, this is just like another plant in our toolbox that was formally, you know, illegal. So no one really learned about it that much, or when they did, it was always this sort of hush-hush thing. And now, you know, everything's changed and it's this totally different ballpark. And yeah, it's very interesting to see how those, that mixture of industry, commerce, capitalism can then kind of affect your perspectives as just a consumer, a healer, a teacher, all those things. So
yeah,
it's fascinating. Well, I want to ask you about, so you mentioned if you look at CBD, you can sort of break it into the terpenes and the cannabinoids. And we are slightly familiar with the cannabinoids in the conversations around Copaiba that we've had a little bit on the show. But how much do you know about the similarities between what we consider the cannabinoid properties of CBD and the same types of properties in the essential oil we know as Copaiba, or some people call it Copaiba. I like Copaiba. It's more fun to say.
So firstly, CBD is one cannabinoid, so it's one compound. So cannabis is where we find the multiple compounds. So cannabis contains both multiple different terpenes, depending on the strain of the cultivar, and also multiple different cannabinoids, again, depending on the cultivar or strain. CBD is consistently there, and it is one of the cannabinoids. So just to be super clear, CBD is just a compound. And then within the cannabis plant, we have terpenes and cannabinoids. We have other things as well. We have flavonoids and lots of other smaller represented chemical or phytochemicals, which is great. So to bring it back to Balsam Copaiba, as you call it, which is great, there is a similarity, and the similarity is beta-carophylline. So beta-carophylline is a terpene. It is a highly anti-inflammatory terpene that's found in lots and lots and lots. It's a very common terpene, and it's found in lots and lots of different essential oils. And it's one of those very interesting terpenes that it can stretch across lots of different categories of essential oils. So if you're one of those people who thinks about essential oils in terms of, you know, the scent categories like floral, wood, citrus, you're going to find that beta-carophylline will appear very frequently across all of those scented categories. Now, there definitely was a lot of talk about how a few years ago about how beta-carophylline was a equivalent to CBD or even a replacement for cannabis. And it is neither of those things. So beta-carophylline is a phenomenal terpene, but it is a terpene and it is not a cannabinoid. They behave very differently. They really like each other, and cannabinoids and beta-carophylline work brilliantly together. It is not a replacement and can never be a replacement for a very simple reason. It is a volatile terpene. It behaves very differently from the cannabinoids. Now, why they got into this conversation is justified. How they get into this conversation is that beta-carophylline, very interestingly, has the ability to interact with the CB2 receptor. So the CB2 receptor is one of two receptors that we know of that's in the endocannabinoid system. So the endocannabinoid system is a system within our body that helps to regulate lots of things, including sleep, mood, or appetite. And it's the way to think about it, Samantha, is like the endocannabinoid system is the system inside our body that constantly brings us back to a state of homeostasis, a state of balance. And it has two receptors, CB1 and CB2. And what we always want to do is to feed those two receptors with beautiful phytochemicals that are going to help that find that place of homeostasis and regulation for our bodies. Beta-carotene is one of the very few compounds that is not a cannabinoid that will directly interact with CB2. For that reason, it gets compared to cannabinoids, but it's a very different compound.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if we want to say myth busted, but I think myth clarified. Absolutely.
I think clarified. And I think whenever I explain, it's like the other analogy I tend to give is, you know, we don't ever mix up eugenol, which is a phenol, a very powerful phenol. We don't ever mix up eugenol for limonene. You know, both immensely powerful compounds, but they behave very differently and they're found in different places. So,
right. No, and they probably work very well together, which I think people like
to put
these lines between, like, what's better than what? And it's like, well, why can't they just both be fabulous and work together fabulously?
Absolutely. And when I'm blending with cannabis or with CBD, when I'm working with essential oils with them, I'm going to want to work with essential oils that are rich in beta-carotene because they love each other. They're familiar to each other and they work brilliantly together. They synergize wonderfully, but they're not a replacement.
Yeah. So we know copaiba is high in that beta-carotene. What other?
At least about 50% on average.
Okay. Yeah, that's high. What other oils might we put in that category of working really well with cannabis or CBD?
Ah, great question. So ply is one. So there's really common ones, like anything that's really high in cannabis. So there's certain terpenes that are very commonly found in cannabis, like linalool, sebenine, limonene, camphor, mycine, osamine, all of those kind of compounds are typically found in cannabis or frequently found in cannabis chemovars. So what you want to do is find essential oils that are rich in those what we call cannabis terpenes. They were aromatherapy terpenes long before they were cannabis terpenes, but the ones that cannabis frequent. And you want to try to use essential oils that have similar terpenes. So we use essential oils, like your citruses are always going to be brilliant, like lime, orange, all of your oranges, your bergamot, your grapefruit. And then you're going to go for those maybe less obvious ones, but ones that are high in osamine, thymine, and sebenine is a really good terpene to work with whenever you're working with cannabis. So things like ply, yarrow, blue tansy, blue chamomile, Roman chamomile less so, but blue chamomile definitely.
Okay.
Or German chamomile.
And what exactly happens? I mean, can you paint a picture, or I love analogies of what happens when you put these together, when you blend cannabis or CBD with these essential oils that are high in beta-carotene or these other complementary terpenes?
Yeah, great question. And I have an analogy for this. So it's like kids in a playground. So you'll have, like, let's say you have four kids in a playground and they're all great friends and they're playing and they're super happy and everything's going really well and they're having a great time. And that's your cannabinoids. They're really happy. There's four cannabinoids. They're having a great time. You introduce terpenes that they are familiar with, that they grew up with, that they literally grew out of the ground with, into that playground. So you add another four kids in there, and those kids are your terpenes from your essential oils. They recognize each other. They are best friends. They have this, like, they have childhood memories of each other because they grew up together and they work brilliantly together. So that playground just becomes just a ball of light and joy because they're back together again.
That's the best analogy I've ever heard. I love it. So I want to ask just a couple more questions about the beauty side of this, or the benefits. You know, so we're talking about how these things play together really nicely. They're not the same. They're different, but they create magic, let's say. What are some examples of that magic? What are some examples how we as users or aromatherapists can use these synergies to benefit?
So one of the main things for me is the two main therapeutic properties of cannabinoids and terpenes together, and that is both groups are anti-inflammatory and antioxidant in their own right. So when you marry them together, Samantha, and you just supercharge the anti-inflammatory and antioxidant ability of the product you're making. So let's just, for argument's sake, say you're making a night serum, and it's rich in either CBD or cannabis. And I say either because if you're fortunate enough to live somewhere where you have legal access to cannabis, then I absolutely would have it in skincare for its anti-inflammatory and antioxidant benefits. But let's say you're not, or you're not interested in it, or CBD isolate is your happy place. Well, great. You can still use that, and it's going to be brilliantly antioxidant and anti-inflammatory. Where I find that most beneficial is for repair. And I'm not just talking about wound repair or like scar tissue repair. I'm talking about just your general life is stressful on our skin, not only the environmental stresses that our skin faces every day, like sun and just, you know, pollution, but the internal stress from our endocrine system, just from our central nervous system, our immune system, all of that repair and our skin's ability to get rest and recover happens at night while we sleep. So if you're going to really, really choose one place or one time to focus on cannabis or CBD and aromatherapy skincare, do it in a serum and do it at night. And the reason I say do it in a serum is because oils love oil and our CBD and our cannabis loves oil. So use it as the base for a serum and use a nice rich serum at night. We're also not going to use a rich serum during the day and then try to put on makeup or go out in public with very oily skin, whereas we can at night. And the other reason why they work so well together is the terpenes help enhance the penetration ability of the cannabinoids. So I'll say that again. The terpenes that are in the cannabis and the terpenes that you add with your essential oils, what they will do is that they will help speed up and maximize the penetrative capabilities of your product by getting through those hair follicles and the sweat ducts in the surface of your skin to break through the epidermal layers and get into the dermis, which is where all of your blood capillaries are and all the hard work is happening inside your skin. So you want to work with them together for those two reasons.
Can you share, do you have a nighttime routine that you go to of something you do for your skin or a recipe you could share?
Yeah. My nighttime routine is very simple. My mom rarely used, we're a house full of girls, but we weren't a house that was full of cosmetics. Like store-bought cosmetics wasn't really our thing. Mom had a really simple skincare routine. She's super young. She's only 62 now, but she looks about 52. And I remember always thinking, I understand this makes sense to me, you know, that we don't need all of the stuff that's been marketed at us, which I'm very fortunate for her showing us that. But I also found aromatherapy when I was 16. So from a very, very early age, I was making my own skincare and that has never changed. And that's been a long time.
Yeah.
So my skin.
And you have great skin. I know not everyone can see, but you have great skin.
But it hasn't been subjected to a lot of stuff, which is good. I'm a big fan of SPF. I will say that every morning I wear SPF. But so my nighttime routine is really simple. I take off my makeup with a flannel. I don't even use a cleanser or anything like that. And then I use a rose.
Like a flannel cloth? Like you just rub it off with flannel cloth and that works?
Take it off the flannel cloth. No, I don't use any cleansers, I don't use any soaps, anything like that. I just take it off. And then I use a rose floral water. I do use an eye cream, and I buy an eye cream from a company, and I never remember, Sundy Riley, their eye cream. I use their eye cream. I've used it for years. And then other than that, I use my night serum. So I have about four night serums that I flip between. My favorite one is probably Sweet Dreams. I call it Sweet Dreams. And all of our community have access to all of my recipes. I'm going to try to remember this one. It's my most expensive one. So I use CBD isolate in it. So the base is rosehip, jojoba, blackberry oil, and boba oil. I know it's four and four. And then I use CBD oil in it. And then I have rose, yarrow, jasmine, and lavender, and that's why we call it Sweet Dreams, because the lavender is in it.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds absolutely lovely. Why do you rotate between those? You have four different serums.
A bit like what we talked about earlier, I think our skin every so often gets immune to what we're doing, so I like to swap it up. So I only I'll make a bottle and it'll last me about 3 months, so I rotate like every quarter or so, around that, every 3 or 4 months. I don't want my skin to get complacent.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Well, I bet that, you know, you said it's an expensive one to make, but I'm sure it's probably much, much less expensive than buying 50 different
products. Absolutely. I make it every Christmas. I make it for my family every Christmas, although the batches are getting bigger and bigger every year. So I always tend to have that one in the winter. And I've just actually moved to a new one. But the reason that I move is just to get my skin, it's still essential oils, it's still cannabis or CBD, it's just to get, and still carrier oils, it's just to give my skin, you know, something new to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Well, Colleen, I want to move on and ask you a couple other questions, because you said you've been an aromatherapist since you were 16. I mean, that's incredible. What got you interested in that as a career? And has there been sort of your, let's call it a spark oil, like when people get into birding, you know, and they have their spark bird, was there like a spark oil for you?
Well, I've been an aromatherapist since I was 19, so I didn't qualify until I was 19. But at 16, I took my first 10-week course. I remember it was a 10-week night course. And mom had suggested it. She, and I can't remember why. She, I always liked to create things, and I was always curious about things, and always like, I was always reading the back of cosmetic bottles, like even shampoo bottles. It makes complete sense now, because I then became a cosmetic chemist. I never understood how, when I read the back of cosmetic bottles, I didn't understand any of the words, and we were putting this onto our bodies. It never made any logical sense to me. And I was one of those really annoying kids that asked why to everything, like just because was not an acceptable answer to me in any conversation. You can imagine how frustrating that was for my poor parents. And that continued into being an adolescent. So at some point, mom must have said, you know, you maybe would like aromatherapy. I don't remember mom having aromatherapy in our home. I don't really remember diffusers or anything like that. But she, you know, no one knows you better than your mom. And she had said, you should go and do this night course. And I remember I was young, I wasn't driving, she had to drive me to it. So one night a week for 10 weeks, she took me to this course, dropped me off and collected me again. And it was super simple. It was like a hobby course for people who wanted to get into aromatherapy. And I just got bitten and just knew from then that I didn't know what my life was going to look like, but I knew the plants were going to be there with me. And from that very early age, I was sharply aware that these little 10 ml bottles came from a vast amount of plant. Like, I wasn't naive enough to think that these 10 ml a bottle, you know, these 10 ml bottles of oil were, you know, just, they came lightly. They didn't come lightly. I knew that there was vast quantities of plant material used to give us these 10 mils, and they were precious oils. And that was, I was sharply acute about that from very early on. And then I never really set aromatherapy down. I went to college because it's what you do, and I'm a good girl. So I followed the traditional path, and I'd done one semester. And I remember coming home for Christmas and saying, I'm not going back. Like, there's work to be done, you know, there's stuff to get on with. And to me, just for me, university was very slow, and it didn't stimulate me in the way I needed to be. My hands were idle, and I wanted to get back to it. And I came home and I said, I'm going to become an aromatherapist, which was not easy back then. It's still not that particularly easy now, but there was no third level education path to do it. It wasn't simple, and I had to find my way around it, and there was no path. And even to this day, I look back and I think, but I was very young to try to carve out a path that just didn't exist. And there's not many people at 18 say, okay, I'm going to figure this out on my own. You know, and there's not many 18-year-olds say I'm going to be an aromatherapist either. For a lot of people, it's a second career.
Yeah, there's no clear path to employment. No. So, yeah. Did you go back to college then to keep studying?
Nope. So I had went to Scotland to college. My degree was in psychology, which was interesting. And I still read books about that topic. So the topic wasn't a bad idea. Just that path of education was a bad idea for me. And I'm dyslexic, so it was never going to serve me. It didn't work. I learned by doing, and I needed to be doing, not sitting in a lecture hall. So there was no university degree. I didn't have a straightforward aromatherapy path. So I started taking part-time courses to get diplomas. And I'd done my first diploma. It took me 18 months, and it was like 250 hours, whatever it was back then. And it was great. But I remember at the end still having this big why, and the why hadn't been answered. So I was technically an aromatherapist. I had the certificate to say I was an aromatherapist, and I didn't feel like it. And everyone else in my class was so happy, and they were, you know, a lot of them were nurses, and they were starting to bring it into their nursing practices, or they worked in hospices, or they were starting massage clinics. And I just didn't feel qualified or equipped to take these precious oils into the world. And then I done a class with Rhiannon Harris a long, long time ago. And she talked about the chemistry and the penny dropped. And I realized that was what was missing. No one had ever talked to me about the chemistry, not in the way she did, not in the way that, and her background was nursing. So science was her thing, which was the bit I needed. I needed high level science to make me understand these plants and to do justice with them. And once that penny dropped, the rest of it just became natural. But I studied for about 8 years while I ran my own practice and done hospice and cancer work because I just needed to learn so much more. So I studied to the level of clinical aromatherapy as well as doing then multiple massage techniques and lots of different complementary alternatives as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to ask again, was there an oil that was sort of stayed with you this entire time or that got you launched on this trajectory? I mean, surely there's like a personal experience or something that made you go, wow, there's really something to these oils.
I remember lime, and it's such a strange one.
lime, yeah. Lime.
Very strange. I know that sounds really weird. I remember lime sticking out as just this oil that felt, I was nearly afraid of it. It felt so powerful. It and bergamot, both of them. And I just remember thinking that they were incredibly powerful, and I didn't really understand the concept of getting that amount of oil from the rind of a lemon into this bottle. I think all of that kind of blew my mind for a long time. And I also remember at the start not appreciating lavender. Like, it was not my oil. I always knew that it would be with me my whole life and it would be an oil I would be eternally grateful for. But personally, it was never my oil. And even to this day, it is still not my oil. So even in times when I've been very, very stressed and lavender would be the oil I would prescribe for people, it wouldn't be mine. So I take it with me. I appreciate it. I highly value it. It's just, it's not my companion. And then over the last, you know, 24 years, nearly 25 years, I've had different oils that have come with me for in different, you know, different oils for different seasons of my life. Palo Santo is my oil at the minute, and it has been for about 5 years. And it's my meditation partner. And I, even if I don't have, if I make the mistake of traveling without it, I can close my eyes for long enough and think about it. It'll come back to me.
Mm. That's lovely. Well, Colleen, I want to ask you one more question before we close up. You mentioned a few times this awareness of how much plant it took to create, you know, one bottle of essential oil, you know, and that's a valid concern that I think a lot of aromatherapists and herbalists are really, they're concerned about it. You know, they want to be a good stewards of the earth, and we don't want to be, you know, over harvesting these precious plants just to cram it into this tiny bottle, you know. So what are your thoughts on that?
This has been a concern of mine long before we were even aware of our climate emergency or climate change, and long before we were even having the conversation about plant conservation and how what's happening to the world is going to affect our access to plant medicine. And I actually don't know how much the conversation about access to plant medicines, the risk for access to plant medicine is even being talked about. Because, you know, when I try to have this conversation with people, they'll say, oh, I don't think it's that big a deal. Or me talking about it will be the first time they've had a minute to think about it or consider it. And that terrifies me. I don't want to be the person that is saying to people, are you aware this is a concern? You know, I want to be fit to be in a group where I'm not the one bringing that up. I want people to be, you know, talking to me about plant conservation and solutions to plant conservation. And that rarely happens. I feel like I'm the grim reaper a lot of the time, where when I talk about this, I'm like, we really need to consider this. To the extent that I deliberately last year launched a program called Lab Senses, and the aim was to fully raise awareness about what it looks like. And I took it back to the field because that's where it was back to. So we went and we visited farmers, and we focused on Provence because it's where my aromatherapy heart lives. And we went to Provence to some of the farmers I've known for 15 years. And we talked about how either lavender yields not only are unpredictable now, some years there is no yield because of unpredictable weather, because of frosts in April, or, you know, droughts in May. And that sometimes the two can happen a month apart. And when I thought, let's humanize this, because, you know, we're humans and we understand stories much better than we understand words a lot of the time. So I took our community on this journey to show them through our farmers what, and our farmers are such nice humans, what it means, not just for their lives and their livelihood, but actually their hearts and their hands live in their soil. And it's heartbreaking to see that they can't keep their crops. They have given up on, you know, they've limited where they used to grow 20 crops. They're down to 5 crops now, because it's easier to steward and care for 5 crops and hope for yield and get yield, as opposed to keep an eye on 20. And the weather just ruined that for them. So I think it's helped and it's raised awareness and it's helped those farmers to do that. But if I had all the time in the world, I would only do that. I would only spend time raising awareness about plant conservation and helping our aromatherapists, because you're right, Samantha, our aromatherapists are becoming more aware of it slowly but steady, and they want to be good stewards. And I would love to spend time being fit to give them access to directly to the farmers who are actually working on our land and be able to support them directly, especially those farmers that are in bringing us the most beautiful oils, like roses from the mountains of Provence. Is just, mm-hmm. there is no smell like a rose mm-hmm. from the mountains of Provence. But yeah. if we don't start continuing this conversation in a really productive way, then we might never have that. Well, I don't think my nieces and nephews are going to have that smell in about 10 years if we don't do something.
Oh, that is a very, very sad thought. Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, a productive conversation is not, let's all stop buying essential oils, period.
No, that is not
the solution.
It's the opposite.
You know, so yeah, exactly. Talk just a little bit more about that and then we'll close up.
Yeah, it's the opposite. And I'm a big fan of, you know, let's spend 5 minutes understanding the facts and then let's move on to solutions. There is no point dwelling on what's happened, because we can't fix the past. All we can do is focus on making the future better. So when I talk about this, I talk about the facts and the, you know, the emergency very quickly. And it's like, okay, these are the facts. They're really hard to stomach. You can stomach those later on. We're here to sort out solutions. And my solutions are things like, please don't stop buying essential oils. Continue to buy them. Be conscious about how you use them, but be more conscious about where you're buying them from. Buy them directly from the farmer. Make sure they're not adulterated. And, you know, source, and the source that you buy from is the most important thing in this conversation. And the closer we can keep our purchasing to the source, the longer we will have medicine, because we keep those farmers in their fields. They don't have to go and close up their fields. They can keep working and keep doing the beautiful work they do. And, you know, as an aromatherapist, we can all ride the scale from being a scientist to being a witch, and I very happily ride up and down that scale all day long, more than happy. I'm happy when someone calls me a witch and happy when someone calls me a scientist. And I think that, you know, no matter where you sit in that scale, there's no denying that the energy that our plants are cared for with and then harvested with and then distilled with and bottled with is really important, and it affects our oils, and we know that when we use them. So I want to be buying from the men and women who live on the land, who care for the land, who love the land, who sing to their plants, who harvest them with care and love. That's the oils I want to be using, and that's what I want to be putting onto my skin. I don't want to be using anything that comes from a source other than directly from my farms.
That's well put. Well, that's so many reasons that I'm very proud to be in the work that I am and raising awareness of that. We talk a lot on the show about the importance of where you get your oils.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it, because it has impacts not just on the product and in the way that you experience it, but on our planet as well. And the people, like the farmers you said, who are the best people on our planet. Yeah, absolutely.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it, so look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver 3 essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
Well, Colleen, this has been absolutely wonderful. I've loved spending this time with you. We have to have you back on soon. There's so much more I want to talk to you about, but there's only so much time in a day. So before you go, we always love to ask our guests a couple closing questions. And the first is, what's one or two self-care practices that you try to do every day to stay healthy?
Well, I meditate most days. I skip the odd day. No one's perfect. I think that's become really important to me, especially in the last about 6 or 7 years. Really, really important to me. And sleep. I am a massive fan of sleep, and I unapologetically take 8 to 9 hours a night. So those two things keep me sane.
Ooh, I love that. Unapologetic 9 hours a night. Ooh,
yeah.
Love it. Is there a certain type of meditation that you do?
No, and I have tried lots of different types, and I do retreats, and I'm one of those, like, I like to explore different types, but my meditation is very simple. A lot of it is I do mantra meditation most of the time, and silence. I spend a lot of time in silence. But I've never fell into anything other than really just sitting in silence with mantras.
And finally, Colleen, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
I'm going to stick with coffee, you know, even though I need to take that advice myself. I think we should all ditch, and I know there's benefits to it, but water outweighs the benefits of coffee.
That is a hard one. Sometimes we have to tell ourselves what we should do and hopefully follow through. Well, this has been fabulous. Colleen, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And you have so much to offer. What's the best way for people to become a part of your community and talk a little bit about the courses that you offer?
Yeah, so you can get us at labroma.com. All our courses are on there, and our access to our software is there also. I go live every Monday in our community group, which you can find again at labroma.com. Just search for community. It's a free platform. It's not on Facebook. We have it on a private platform, but it's fully free, and it's my happiest hour of the week. It's totally informal. We rock up. We have a chat about whatever's going on in terms of aromatherapy and essential oils. Sometimes people will just come with their like day-to-day concerns, and we'll work on solutions or substitutions. I always share a new recipe every week, and we work through that recipe. We talk about the courses and any questions anyone has on them. So that's a really good way to like access me, and it's super casual. I rock up and with a cup of tea, and it's brilliant. I love it. And that's every week. And that's where you can get me. You can also contact me directly at aroma@labroma.com. I love to get emails from people who want to talk about the plants with me, especially if it's conservation and plants, then I'm super happy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, we'll definitely put a link below for those resources in the show notes. So wherever you're listening, just scroll down, hit show notes, hit show more, or go to our website and you can find the show notes for that to make it easy to connect with Colleen. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been lovely meeting you. And I hope that this is just the first of many conversations in the future. We appreciate you so much here on the Essential Oil Revolution.
Thank you, Samantha. It was a pleasure to be here.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. Thank you to each and every one of you who tunes in week after week to the show and shares it with others. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, go ahead and leave us a rating and review wherever you listen, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen. You can find show notes, instructions, swag, and more on our website at revolutionoilspodcast.com. We'll catch you here next week with a brand new episode of the Essential Oil Revolution. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.